Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, Corinne. This is a pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You have learned that there is a discussion of a merger afoot between Ellis Hospital and St. Peter's in the Capital Region. And I'd just like you to give us some background information about that. What do you know, and when did you know it?
They made an announcement. It was a press release 2 months ago, maybe a month ago. And they said in their communication that they're going to be doing lots of due diligence and it would take 8 to 9 months. And it seemed to be far off. They didn't have much information about the structure of what they were looking at, but they did call it a partnership. And there was a part of me that was excited for the resources that Ellis could attain through a partnership, because Ellis does need resources and it would be wonderful to have an investment in our local healthcare. Ellis is our single community hospital here in Schenectady County. So I was excited, but also it was a big red flag, because we know that associations with Catholic hospitals and healthcare systems often bring along religious biases and religious restrictions. I wasn't alone. I mean, there's other community members that saw that same red flag. There was one woman in particular, a woman named Carrie Pan, who'd been involved in 2007 when Ellis Hospital was required to merge with St. Clair's and Bellevue Hospitals. And at that point, she was involved to make sure that religious restrictions associated with St. Clair's didn't continue over into the new entity. And that was successful. So in that way, she really was the first one to have ever put it on my radar, just in her experience having had that discussion back then. So I reached out to our public health director. We have an acting public health director named Keith Brown, who very much agreed, was concerned, saw it as a public health issue. And from there, we strategized to reach out to community members, other organizations, individuals that we knew could possibly be affected by this relationship.
Can you tell me more about the importance of Ellis in your community?
Ellis is our community hospital. They have four campuses now. They combined with Bellevue, which is a women's center with a long, long history. It's typically known as our Capital District Birthing Center because it really, really caters to folks who want to give birth in a supportive atmosphere. And they've expanded. They do now do heart care too, because we know that women's heart care can present differently than men's heart care. So they've expanded, and we've also got the old St. Clair's campus in the city of Schenectady. They have there now a nursing home and outpatient work. And since the merger, they've since built a campus out in Clifton Park, and that has an emergency room. It might be an urgent care room. I'm not really sure if it's emergent or urgent care, but they also have lots of doctor's offices. So it's expanded, but it is our sole community healthcare center. And during COVID, it is very much what we relied on to be the center of our universe in COVID care. So our public health director has worked with them. I'd say he probably communicates with them several times a day, with their medical director especially, to coordinate care and public service announcements, that kind of thing.
So the Ellis Hospital system is a secular hospital system, and St. Peter's is a Catholic hospital system. Why does that make such a difference? Why does that throw up a red flag?
Catholic hospitals and healthcare systems are bound by ethical and religious directives. There are 77 of them. And when you read them, like I recently did, it's very eye-opening. Most people look at the reproductive health restrictions, which are shocking. I mean, it's no contraception. It gets really detailed, frankly. Obviously, there's no abortion, but there's also no sterilization. So no tubal ligations or vasectomies allowed. Even after a woman is raped, it dictates the type of medicine that can be used to prevent pregnancy. It dictates what can happen in ectopic pregnancy as well. It's really shocking. There's a whole section on end-of-life care. There's a particularly surprising directive that says that pain medication is okay to relieve pain, but not to bring upon unconsciousness, because patients should be helped to know the transformative virtue of pain. I personally find that very disturbing, but just to walk through all those ethical and religious directives, is shocking to most people because we're so used to patient-directed care that's based on evidence and it's inclusive and comprehensive. To think for one moment that our doctor can't recommend or refer or help us with medicine or a procedure based on one church's teaching is really, really surprising to most people when I've had conversations recently about it, especially.
So you mentioned that on the one hand, you were kind of excited because it sounds like Ellis Hospital System is struggling, as are many hospital systems across the country. So what do you do? What is to be done here?
That's a great question. So I think that's what we're trying to navigate, right? So we've looked at other examples. We've seen in California that Catholic healthcare systems that are gobbling up non-sectarian hospitals have applied something different than the ethical and religious directives. They've actually applied something called the Statement of Common Values, which is a lighter version. It basically allows these non-sectarian hospitals, some of them anyway, to perform tubal ligations and to perform vasectomies and to allow for birth control, never euthanasia or sterilization. That's still carved out. But even in states where aid in dying is allowed, it's not allowed in any Catholic-acquired hospital or health system. But looking at the fact that there are alternative interpretations of the ethical and religious directives, that gives us some hope. And so even when we look at St. Peter's Hospital itself, I've talked with some docs who've practiced over there, and there's a couple different entities that they practice, whether it's at the hospital or at St. Peter's Health Partners, some of the doctor's offices that are associated with St. Peter's. It's all under the Trinity Health umbrella, and we're finding that there are plenty of exceptions being made. So they're allowing birth control and hormonal birth control, I should say, to be prescribed. And they are respecting end-of-life directives. So I think right now we're just uncertain to know what is the effect going to be based on how Trinity Health and how our local bishop interprets those ethical and religious directives, whether they follow something like the Statement of Common Values, or is it completely unwritten and it's just happening on the fly. And so we have a level of insecurity to see how the resources that they bring to the table may or may not outweigh any potential restrictions on our healthcare.
I know that in Albany and Troy, the alternative is Albany Med, which is not a Catholic health system and doesn't have to abide by those directives or by any statement of common values. They do look to evidence. What alternatives exist for the community in Schenectady?
There's no other large healthcare system like how Albany has Albany Med. And that's a problem because we do have plenty of folks who live in Schenectady who are not going to leave Schenectady. So for example, if they are considering having a tubal ligation after giving birth, which is the safest time to do it, they would need to travel to Albany Med, assuming that Ellis falls within the ethical and religious directives by the Catholic hospital healthcare system. They're not going to travel to Albany Med to give birth to do that. It's just not in their world. So it could really have a significant effect if our healthcare options are limited through Ellis. We do have a Planned Parenthood clinic, but you know, there's plenty of instances where birth control or terminations need to happen in an emergent basis that Planned Parenthood may not be the best option to fulfill that.
So you and I were talking before we got on air about charity care, because I had this misconception that Catholic hospitals actually excelled at charity care, and that would be one area that you wouldn't have to worry about if these two systems merged. But you disabused me of that notion. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So we're looking at this as not just access or having right to healthcare and comprehensive healthcare. We're looking at this as a healthcare justice issue and as an equity issue as well. I've already mentioned transportation issues, but there's absolutely a large population here of uninsured, underinsured, and Medicaid patients. And when we look at studies of hospitals and healthcare systems that are Catholic compared to non-sectarian, it does appear that Catholic systems, they take care of less, I hate to say charity cases, it's a terrible, terrible name for this, but less charity cases than non-sectarian hospitals and healthcare systems. So we're definitely going to want to be attuned to what does St. Peter's do? And are they going to make sure to take care of all of our community members to the same level that Ellis does.
And that means providing care to people that are uninsured and then not sending them a bill that they can never pay, driving them into, you know, in some cases, bankruptcy. That's what that means, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately the system that we're working in healthcare. We don't have universal healthcare, so that's exactly what happens to families that it can be as little as a car accident or a bad diagnosis that creates the spiraling effect that can affect generations of a family in their wealth and what a bankruptcy can do to that family.
And in the hospital systems that have a good charity care, for lack of a better term, policy, those bills are written off.
Yeah. And so we just don't know, in comparing the two, where Ellis would fall post-partnership.
So I am interested in giving our listeners some resources. Where can people find out what these 77 ethical religious directives are?
Well, there is a website that you can go to if you just simply Google Catholic ethical and religious directives for healthcare services. It comes up pretty easily. One of the biggest problems with all of these partnerships with Catholic hospitals and healthcare systems is transparency. So you can read those 77 directives and get a sense of things, but it doesn't go anywhere near telling the full story of what a patient would experience going to an emergency room, say, because you have no idea walking in those doors, what's covered, what they'll provide you and what they won't. And it's not on their marketing material. So they could, like, we'll take Burdett, for example, over in Troy. Burdett was initially set up when Samaritan merged, and now St. Peter's has taken over Samaritan. Burdett was carved out as a hospital within a hospital as a birthing center. And now it has been reabsorbed into St. Peter's. So we know that Burdett is now subject to the Catholic directives or as interpreted by St. Peter's. So when you look at the website, though, it still talks about comprehensive health services. There's no distinction. There's no list of, well, can I get a postpartum tubal ligation here? You have no idea unless you know to ask the question. And even then, sometimes you might be misinformed up until the day you give birth. So it's a problem. I think that's one of the biggest problems is no matter how much research you do, there's no way to know what one particular healthcare system will offer you, just simply because the bishop might interpret and enforce the ethical and religious directives differently. There might be a statement of common values applied, or there might be something else in writing or some gentleman's agreement of how they do business that a healthcare consumer would have no idea.
Can you tell folks how to get involved if they want to find out more information or they want to help make sure that if there is a partnership or a merger, that the people of the community are served?
We've just begun to have conversations with the hospital, and we hope to have more information soon. But in the meantime, we are setting up a coalition of individuals and organizations that are concerned about this issue so that we can be in touch and share information as we learn it. That coalition is called Schenectady Coalition for Healthcare Access, or you can just email me at michelle.ostrelich@schenectadycounty.com. I'm happy to talk people through their concerns and make sure that their issues are brought to the table, because as we're growing, more and more issues keep popping up. I mean, we've certainly tried to be as inclusive as possible. For example, we're talking about reproductive care and end-of-life care, but we also know that we need to be concerned about infertility care, LGBTQ+ inclusive care, gender-affirming care. So the more we learn, the more people that get involved, the more we understand needs to be brought to the table early on before these plans are filed with the state. It's a hard time. Our community is not alone in this. We're still reeling with COVID. We're all feeling isolated. Our loved ones have gotten sick or they're in residential homes. I mean, we've got presidential election tearing us all apart. We've got a very active Black Lives Matter and policing task forces going on right now. And things that weren't even controversial, like post office and census. It's just, there's so much activism that's been required of our community that I'm just so hopeful that we can work on making sure that Ellis Medicine continues to serve our community and offers comprehensive care in all of these issues without the need for activism through this coalition, just learning the information, bringing it to administration's attention, That's my biggest hope, because I think we're just so tired of fighting.